Welcome to Freedom of Mind. What's good with it, y'all? It's boy Ray Will.
What's up, y'all? You already know it's L. It's the livest podcast out there, man. Freedom of Mind. Continue to hit them socials. Continue to hit us up in them DMs and just let us know how it's popping. You dig?
For sure. Dope. All right, y'all. So, check this out. We got Speak Your Mind, of course, coming up. And then we got the main subject, y'all. We're going to talk about somewhat controversial. It's kind of trending subject, right? And I guess some people may think it's fine. Polygamy. Come on now. You know.
Let me just say, I used to live in Salt Lake, and a lot of things that I can't really say too much on the subject, but it's something that is very, very crazy that is going on. And it's something that has been going on for 100+ years. And based on this thing that we call religion, that we're supposed to have faith, that is supposed to protect us and guide us to live a quote unquote religious life. You know what I'm saying? I'm not knocking anybody that, you know, is a part of the organization, but I am knocking the lifestyle or some of the attributes that things lead to. But we're gonna get a little bit more of that in the show. Shout out to the All-Star Weekend, you know what I'm saying? NBA players doing their thing. Rappers, Quavo, you know what I'm saying? That celebrity game was what's up. You know what I'm saying? He did his thing, him and Jack Harlow. You know, Lil Baby and 2 Chainz, man, I commend them for trying as well. It was a game of 21, but, you know, All-Star Weekend in Atlanta had people going crazy, man. And a lot of thirst was going on during that time. A lot of new music. Scary Hours Part 2 drop. Shout out to Drake. Tory Lanez, one of my idols from Canada, you know what I'm saying? From the 6666, you know what I'm saying? Canada dropping big numbers, you know what I'm saying? Drake, Tory. Tory, let me just say, put some motherfucking respect on this nigga's name, you know what I'm saying? This motherfucker dropped 4 projects in a year. This ain't no motherfucking pandemic for him. He got Daystar. He got Playboy after 3 months apart. Motherfucking hardworking brother, man. So shout out to Tory. Independent brother doing his thing. I don't give a fuck what the media says. You know what I'm saying? Holla at your boy, man. 666 Connect. Toronto best, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's definitely a Tory Lanez fan. No doubt about that. Can't nobody change that. Not even me. But yeah, let's get on with this episode, y'all. Hey, you know, just hang tight, y'all. All right.
What's up, y'all? You already know it's L. My bad. You know, I'm doing a lot of things behind the background and stuff. You know, a lot of things that I won't get into. But, you know, it kind of made me sit back and think and reflect, you know, that, I was wilding back then. You know, I'm in a position now, in a predicament now to where, like, I put myself in it. And we all wonder why things happen or why it happened to me or whatever, but you got to sit there, look in the mirror, and look at yourself first. So that was just some shit that I wanted to get off my chest, so that realization that I learned, you know. We don't blame others. We need to blame ourselves for things that have happened. So, you know, just putting that in perspective, you know, that's a little subject that I wanted to get off by not really getting too much into it. Also, my boy Ray was talking about prejudice and racism in the country. And I know a lot of times it may go out or slip out every now and again, but I barely use the N-word. I think a lot of people don't understand what it means. I mean, it comes from the word ignorant. So if you call in somebody, you calling them ignorant, right? But then there's a second term. There's the ER end of the word. Now that goes into 300 plus years of oppression. So me, as a young kid and as a teenager, we all say it, right? Or back in the day when I was a teenager. Nowadays, it's like, it's a word, but it's like, do we really need to use it? If we really want to move forward and not really have too much prejudice in this world, we got to kind of change our understanding of things. We got to kind of change our ways of thinking or our ways of endearment, right? Because we use that word kind of in a sense of endearment, right? When we see our brothers, we don't never say, what's up, B, or whatever. What's up, man, or whatever. Like, we say that. You know what I'm saying? My feeling on the word, and this is, I know this is a subject that coincides with Ray, but my feelings on the word is, like, I think as I grew older, now I'm in my middle 20s, and it's like, I don't need to say it, or I don't need to say it over 1,000 conversations or whatever. I'm a man of color, and I don't need to see it. I don't need to say it. You know what I'm saying? There's just many other words that I can use, many other terms I can use to describe my brothers, to say what's up to my brothers and sisters. That's just a short segment I kind of want to piggyback off of Ray's subject and stuff. But, I mean, it's true. A lot of kids in high school that say it nowadays is because they hear it from rap. And then, you know, brothers that are in the group, let the white dude say it, or let the other kid say it, or let this kid say it, and then pretty much everybody says it, right? But if we want to see racism not fully, you know, dismissed in America, but if we want to see it at least having progress to where, you know, we won't have as much problems as we are having, we got to start with ourselves. We got to start with, can I make a new trend, right? Can I make a new word? Like, normally when I talk to my brothers or something like that, I use my term brother. Or what's up, man? Where I'm from, we say B. What's up? What's up, yo? Like, shit like that, you know? And it's like, we got to just be our own selves, be our own person, and not be what the next person is doing. And I think that's the only way we can move forward. What profounded me was a movie that I just recently watched. I don't know if my brother Ray watched it, A Time to Kill, with Samuel L. Jackson. To kind of refresh everybody's memory, basically, it was down south in the Carolinas, I want to say. No. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm not quite sure where the movie took place, but it was down south. Sandra Bullock is in it, Matthew McConaughey, Samuel L. Jackson. Basically, the start of the movie, you'll see two white men with Confederate flags. Now, this is down in the south. This is down in the woods. Basically, they thought it was okay to sexually assault a 10-year-old African-American girl. This was the daughter of Samuel L. Jackson in the movie. Now, being down south, laws against white men was kind of unheard of, right? They were, and thankfully, there was a black sheriff in the movie. So those two men got arrested. Of course, there was evidence behind what they did. And this poor little girl suffered so much in this one scene that she couldn't have kids afterwards. This movie will definitely make you cry in most of the scenes, which I've broken down. Because I'm a father, and trust and believe, I would do the same thing Samuel L. Jackson did. So basically, he told his lawyer, Matthew McConaughey, a day before, these two white men were going to be arraigned, right? He goes to the courthouse. He was an ex-military and blasted the two son of a bitches. Good riddance, right? I do the same thing because I'm a father. Because I'm a man of color, because he was a brother in the movie, they were going to arrest him for the killing of these two white men. But mind you, nobody brings up that these two white men just sexually assaulted and nearly beat this 10-year-old African-American daughter to death. Nearly. She was grasping for life. Like, it was so, because I have a daughter, it makes it harder to watch it. But basically through the movie, you'll see the legal system. You'll see apparently those two white men, their brother, you know, went to KKK members. And what happened in the movie was you'll start to see the Ku Klux Klan coming back around that town or around that area. They started to form again, I guess. So you'll have, and it's the craziest thing to see, because they'll show you, I guess the Klan has applications, and they show how these three white men take on the application and enter the Klan, and how they feel so proud of this, and they start burning crosses in front of the Matthew McConaughey as the lawyer of Samuel L. Jackson. They start burning crosses in front of his house or try to bomb his house, and the whole movie just, it wraps your head around, is vengeance killing justifiable? Me as a father? Me as a father, definitely. I definitely feel that shit, God forbid, but I'm saying if that shit ever happened, vengeance killing is justifiable. Especially that Samuel L. Jackson knew that brother, knew those two white men were going to get off for doing this, or they were only going to get 7 years. Right, we're talking about sexually assaulted her, a 10-year-old, nearly beat her to death, tied her up, and she can't have children. Now, while Samuel L. Jackson was in jail being down south, the NAACP tried to come in and use their attorneys, but Samuel L. Jackson turned them down because he wasn't part of that political play. He wanted to get out. Of course, because he wanted to prove it was justifiable killing. Matthew McConaughey, being a white man down south, never gave up. His house was burnt down. His family, his wife had to move away for a little while because the Klan came after him. But he dedicated to himself to his friend because he understood why he did what he did. Right? He understood. It's called A Time to Kill. Very, very great movie to watch. If you really want to see racism, especially down south and how it still plays out, there's still Klan members to this day. We know that. Those hooded white dudes look as stupid than a motherfucker. Is there any way to be politically correct on that? They look stupid than a motherfucker. And I'm so glad. This was my favorite part of the movie, was there was a huge protest and they got their asses whooped. I think the main Klan member got his ass set on fire. And I was like, if y'all ever seen chicken cook, that was some white meat cooking. I love seeing that shit. Okay? Now, I'm not racist or a bigot against white people. White people like that specifically, I do have a little bit of hatred. I'm going to be honest. Because it's nasty to just sit there and just drop the ER word, right? And just think that you're an all white, you know, supreme race. Like, what type of shit is that? What type of shit was that? A Time to Kill. Ray, how you feel? I know this is my speak your mind, but I need you to watch that movie, A Time to Kill. Samuel L. Jackson is in it, and the way he, you know, he comes in with like a assault rifle and blows these motherfuckers away in the courthouse. Give some of your thoughts real quick. Because, I mean, it's a fucked up story.
Well, like I said, I never saw the movie before, but, you know, vengeance killing, you know, is it justifiable? I think possibly, you know, it depends on what it is. Like, you know, the situation you're saying, you know, the kid got killed and, you know, this is a kid vulnerable and, you know, you go out and you murder this kid and then, you know, the way that the system is, the way that it still is, you know, it's favorable to certain people. So yeah, definitely, man. I wouldn't say definitely, but possibly, yeah, it is justifiable, man. So
trying to get where it takes place.
He's trying to do some little research right now on the movie.
Canton, Mississippi.
He said it's Canton, Mississippi, where it took place at. So yeah, that is deep south.
That is
and
deep. Like, I would not catch myself dead.
I know I wouldn't. Yeah, unless unless I got some things and some folks with me. That's for damn sure.
Because if people think the Klan is not around still, they dumb as hell.
Yeah, you living beneath the rock, not under it, but beneath that motherfucker.
Tying white bed sheets right now.
Oh yeah.
Dumb ass motherfucker.
You got any more to say to the people? With this speak your mind, you got anything else to speak out, L? What else you got, man? Unless you want to close it out.
Yeah, all I can say is I'm a father first, so I mean, I definitely justify that. But especially being down south, y'all got to understand, this took place in Canton, Mississippi, but those places like Bama, Alabama, when you go down Savannah, North Carolina, all those places down south, everybody got to realize that we still have, you know, dumb, you know, just people that just don't want to understand what the world has become or doesn't want to conform to the normal times and nobody wants to get along. So it's a movie that I suggest definitely do your research on, everybody that's listening. A Time to Kill. That's it, y'all. You already know what's up.
What up, what up, what up, what up? So check this out. Polygamy. Interesting subject. It's been practiced. It's been going on for years, as L mentioned on the intro. Definitely, man. Seems like he know a little bit more about all that than I do. So yeah, he keeps saying he lives in Salt Lake, so it must be going down in Salt Lake. That whole deal. But so that's where it's break it down.
So basically, this prophet named Joseph Smith, you know, founded the Valley of Zion, which is what we know as Salt Lake. That's gonna break down the story a little bit smaller. You know what I'm saying? He found this gold book that was written by God or whatever. You know, that's the Mormon religion in a nutshell. Go to Netflix and go to a documentary that's Murder Among Mormons, and that will break it down a little bit more. I'm not trying to make this a full religious podcast or really get into it, because I lived in Salt Lake and there's a lot of things that I can't really say. There's a lot of things that I got to be politically correct on. I know people that personally have, you know, quote unquote, escaped a polygamy camp. I know it's outlawed. I know it did come from the branches of the Mormon religion. Basically, when all the Mormons were cast out of Catholic areas and Catholic churches around, you know, the 1800s, early 1800s, they moved out to this valley they called Zion, as I speaked earlier and stated, but this is called Salt Lake City. Around 1830, they built the Salt Lake Temple. And, you know, you have the prophets, you know, like Joseph Smith, that founded this gold book and all this type of stuff, right? Polygamy, basically, Joseph Smith had about 9 wives. Some of them were his family members. Some of those kids, you know, suffered deformity. And basically, they act like that the kingdom of Solomon had, you know, 20,000 wives and had to have multiple kids. Like, it's a big thing in the polygamous union to have that. And there's camps everywhere. There's camps in Arizona. And when I say camps, I mean, you know, literally this town that's blocked off by a gate or something, and it's a small community of all polygamous people because it's outlawed. And it's a very serious thing. It's a very serious crime to say that you're a father and you're going to sit there, and because God tells you, or the Book of Mormon tells you, look, I want you to have sex with your daughter. I want you to have sex with your cousin. I want you to, you know, like, just to grasp your head around this cult that they have is crazy. Now, I want to definitely divide that between the Mormon religion and polygamy. Yes, polygamy is branched off of the Mormon religion, but there is two separate things, and not everybody lives like that. Can't speak too much, can't get into way a lot of specifics, because I've been around it and all I can say is very profound. Ray, you got any interesting facts? Because, I mean, you brought up the subject today, you know?
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting because, first of all, I was on social media and it was kind of brought up. So, some people were talking about it. One, it was a lady, you know, I don't know her name, and but I just heard her talking about it, and she was like, I actually, you know what? It is a little different. My bad. It's a little different, you know, with the whole threesome thing and polygamy. Obviously, polygamy is marrying more than, you know, one wife or husband. But it probably starts with threesomes. No, but so yeah, I kind of got that mixed up. My bad, y'all. But check this out. I was looking at this though. So you know, I'm like, first of all, is polygamy legal in the United States? And of course, it's not. So only Utah made it, you know, legalized it or made it legal. But in America, then, you know, like, why is it legal? Why is polygamy illegal? You know, but then it does, you know, it can tie into women's rights and, you know, freedom of choice and all these type of things. It can get out of control, I guess. You know, I don't know specifically why or the reasons why, but if you dive into it a little bit more, if you look at the history of polygamy, man, it runs deep. Now, you know, L mentioned polygamy in the United States, but polygamy goes way back, you know. You know, obviously, you know, Islam. I don't know. He looking at me. He looking at me like, whoa, wait. No, you know, but you know, it's a big group. You know, there's a lot of that going on or whatever. You know, Prophet Muhammad, he had many wives. First, he had one wife. She was older than him, right? And she was rich, and he was doing this thing with her, and then that didn't work out. And then he started doing his own thing after that divorce, and you know, he had many wives. So, but then you got Africa. A lot of polygamy was going on in Africa, or whatever. I've heard stories. I don't know. A couple of African cats was telling me about, cats was married. You know, they were saying before colonization, you know, there's a lot of polygamy going on and all that and stuff, and having many wives. One African man was telling me that, you know, that's how they did it. They had polygamy. They had many wives. You know, the man did, and he's going to each household. Each household, you know, the woman is taking care of the household. I'm like, yeah, that sounds like for me. That sounds like some pimp shit, you know. But yeah, so that a lot of that kind of stuff was going on. So, but I did kind of get a little mixed up with the threesome and the polygamy. But you know, and you know, T.I. comes to mind, man. You know, I don't know the details about what's going on with that situation, with the whole threesome. That's what it sounds like, some threesome situation or whatever. And a lot of people are stepping up and saying that, or you know, a lot of women are stepping up saying that they're victims of, I guess their little threesome scandal, if you will. And you know, it's getting real ugly real fast for T.I. and Tiny. You know, they're accused of it. So, and like I say, you know, reflected back what this lady was saying in this video that I was watching on social media. She was like, guys that want to have threesomes are not really trying to explore. They like really interested in having sex with other women. So I'm thinking like maybe the United States made it legal to marry more than one person. You know what I'm saying? Then will it help resolve that perception? I know it wouldn't change instantaneously, but do you think, you know, think about that. Like, what if the United States allow it to be legal to be married to more than one person at the same time? would that help eliminate infidelity? Would that help eliminate, you know, cheating scandals and, you know, broken homes and all that and stuff, you know? But then, you know, saying then you got to look at the dangers of it, right? And I kind of said that before, you know, like people's rights and then, you know, freedom of choice and, you know, it can kind of get ugly like that or whatever. You know, I'm just thinking of stuff from the top of the dome. I'm sure there's more cons than that, you know. So I want to know when this stuff was going on. Like, that's what I want to know. Let me read something with y'all. But, you know, I didn't know Utah got down like that. You know, I don't know much about that state, so all I know is that it's a lot of Mormons, and it was founded by a Mormon. That's all I know. Other than that, I don't know much about it.
All I want to say is, if you're in Salt Lake, you definitely will, in a sense, you know, feel secluded. You know what I'm saying? If you're not a part of that religion. I know I'm talking low right now because I'm doing other things right now, but hey, shout out, you know, to my clothing brand that I'm about to drop soon, not to get off subject, and I got a single about to, you know, cook up in the lab, you know what I'm saying? Turn immortal, that's all I gotta say. It's an expression. It's definitely that mentality for success. So just not to get off subject, but it is still a beautiful, you know, little city to cultivate. I know Park City is really nice. A lot of movies were filmed there. A lot of movie actors and actresses live up there. It's in the mountains in the snow area. Very rich. It's cheap to live there in Salt Lake. Peaceful in the winter time. It's so beautiful. Like that snow that hits you. You know, because I'm from the East Coast, so I love that scenery. And it's peaceful. It's comfortable. It's laid back. There's a train system that I love. I love the transit system. You know, it's not a bad community, but it's very tight. You know what I'm saying? If you're not a part of that religion, you definitely will feel cast out. I lived there for about 2 years. My daughter was born there. If I had a choice, I would go and visit again. I'm not gonna lie. What about you, Ray?
Oh, you know, man, I'm just doing me and trying to survive and trying to make moves, man. You know, realism, man. Realism is what I'm trying to build. You know, like L got immortal, you know, and I got realism, y'all, so be on the lookout. And be on the lookout for, you know, things happening for freedom of mind itself, you know. We got big plans for freedom of mind as well, man. So just stay tuned, y'all. Hey, we know we on Facebook, we on YouTube, we on Twitter, and we're on, you know, IG. So, you know, just be on the lookout, y'all, you know what I'm saying? Email us on, you know, freedomofmindpodcast@gmail.com. So, you know, hit us up, you know, you can Google us. On Google, hit us up and, you know, check out our episodes. So, you know, I'm trying to scrape up some history about polygamy here, and it ain't really saying much. It's really just giving you polygamy from Salt Lake, Utah. So, you know, and L just kind of gave you a good little brief history about that and explanation about that. So, all right, let's get into our other little subject we got for y'all. And I want L, you know, whenever he's ready, you know, L kind of busy right now, but he just walking around, y'all. That's what he doing. That's what he do for the show, y'all. Nah, just playing. Top 5 hottest rappers of 2021. And no, Tory Lanez does not count. Or does he? He does rap, huh? Okay, yeah, alright. Who you got?
R.I.P. Smoke. Pop Smoke, man. Definitely a big influence. Definitely passed away too soon. Juice WRLD. Definitely passed away too soon. Who else we got? King Von. Shout out to Von, man. Chi-Town, man. Definitely going too soon. Talented brother. Who else would I say is a good rapper? In 2020, 2021, like brand new, because I mean I like most of the, you know, the group that's with J. Cole, like, you know, Jid, you got J. Cole of course, and you got a few of those artists in there. I mean, I can't really think of like top artists that came out of this year though, or the pandemic and stuff. What you think? Oh, Morey. You know, he had he sings. He's from North Carolina, I believe.
Some rappers.
I showed you that one though.
Yeah.
He's a rapper too.
Okay, so pretty much, check this out. We got to go first. There's a difference between best rappers and hot. So I can give y'all the best rappers. Or let's just say best hot rappers, or, you know, we can say that best hot rappers, because, you know, if we're going to say best, you do got rappers that still rap, but they not as hot, right? So let me give y'all the best hot rappers. What I mean is guys that got high rate, that got enough talent, you know what I'm saying, with using the rating system that I like to use, right? So obviously, you know, you got Kendrick, that's L's boy. You got Kendrick, you know, you got J. Cole, you got Drake, right? You got Big Sean, and then let me throw Jordan Lucas out there, right? Those are my five. Those are my best hot rappers, right? But hot rappers, I'm gonna say, yeah, Pop Smoke. I'm gonna say DaBaby. I'm gonna say Lil Baby, and I'm going to say Travis Scott, and then Juice WRLD. I'm going to say those cats. To me, those are the hot rappers of today. And then I named y'all the best hot rappers. That makes sense. So let me kind of go over that. So those best hot rappers, you know, most of the bunch of that name, you know, I think they have a tendency to set trends because they're not afraid of being creative and, you know, putting it out there. You know, they just put it out there. Or, you know, you got some cats, maybe they just haven't figured it out yet. You know, they're just kind of just, you know, trying to just make something and fit in and make some money. You know what I'm saying? So to speak. Yeah, I don't want to say that. But just trying to, still trying to figure things out, figure themselves out, figure their style out. And, you know, they just got enough talent for them to, you know, to send to make some hits or to make some, you know, some good tracks, you know. And then you got cats where they know what they're doing. You know, they worked at their craft. They got a little bit of experience, and they figured it out. You know, they figured themselves out. They've accepted themselves, and they're not afraid to put it out there, put it out for the world to listen to. And that's where you got your best hot rappers. And then you got your hot rappers. You know, some of them aren't here today with us, tragically. You know, rest in peace. You know, where you get your Pop Smoke. And he kind of did have his own little style. But I did hear a little bit of Drake. You know, people may disagree with that, but I say that because of the singing kind of style that he had. You know, it kind of the same notes and the same sounding, like the way that it sounds was, you know, I think similar to a Drake, you know, honestly. So and then you got cats like Juice WRLD, where he uses more of the auto-tune, and he's kind of like talking and singing on that auto-tune. And then Travis Scott is the same way. So honestly, you know, they're considered rappers and they're considered, you know, contributors to the hip hop genre, but it's like they're kind of more like to me like pop. They're like pop stars to me, you know. They're crossover. They reach all these different types of crowds and ages and stuff like that. So, you know, they're more popping. It's funny, you know, let me kind of get into that. Like, you know, I think guys like Hammer kind of paved the way for these type of rappers, you know, and let's just think of him as like a pop sacrifice, you know, a pop rapper sacrifice, because I mean, you know, he used to get dogged, man. You know, people like used to clown him. They didn't take him seriously. You know, he used to dance. A lot of rappers at that time didn't dance, really. They just was like just standing around and, you know, looking cool. You know, Hammer was all on the stage dancing and all that and stuff. He had background dancers and, you know, and all that and stuff, you know. And, you know, cats was just dogging him, you know. But guess what? He was selling. And then, you know, when we think of Hammer, you know, we think of the guy who, you know, lost his money, lost his, you know, fortune and all that, and people want to dog him about that. So, you know, that kind of just probably messed up his PR a little bit, you know, that whole stint. But he had a whole lot of success when he was doing his thing, you know. So I believe he was the first rapper to have a diamond selling album. You know, and, you know, so he was doing something now, and he was a hell of a performer, you know, by the way. So people can say all they want, but he was selling. But then, you know, you got cats nowadays where they're approaching, they may not be dancing. But one thing about Hammer's music was crossover. Like I said, he was pop as well, and he was crossover. He made a lot of dance songs, and a lot of stuff that he talked about was like, you know, happy-go-lucky dance type stuff, and you know, more of like, you know, just like I say, happy stuff. You know, positive messages. And rap at that time, you know, this was in the late '80s, so you know, the West Coast was emerging, and you know, N.W.A. was out, and then you know, Public Enemy was out, you know, doing their thing, you know, Boogie Down Productions. And you know, so you have more stuff that was getting more a little bit more hardcore, you know, and probably a little bit more related to what was going on in, you know, in the black communities, and you know, and all that. So, you know, then you got a Hammer going around talking about you can't touch this and all that. So it was like, you know, like what the hell is this crap? So it wasn't really a whole lot of the, and I'm not calling it crap. That's probably, I'm just saying, reflecting on what people may have thought, but him, he was, his stuff, it was really selling mainly to like white America. It wasn't really selling too much to black America. So yeah, he was definitely crossover. So, you know, let's jump back to these cats, you know, Juice WRLD and then Travis Scott. You know, they make stuff for like, you know, white America. they're pop stars to me. You know, that's what they are. They use a lot of the auto tune. They don't. They kind of rap a little bit here and there, but then they. Okay. Yeah, that's.
Don't put Juice in the same realm as like a Travis Scott or whatever, because Juice grew up on rock and roll, typical stuff that you've never seen a brother grow up on. You know what I'm saying? So he was looked at as that nerdy kid in high school that was listening to Nirvana and rock and roll bands, and being a brother from Chicago too, especially. They were like, what is this dude doing? You know what I'm saying? Because it's, I guess it's typical quote unquote white music, whatever. I don't really like that label on it. Anybody can really listen to it, because you see the way Juice did it when he incorporated rock and roll into rap. He made it so timeless that now most cats are doing it now. And I can even think of Wayne doing that with Rebirth when he had the rock and roll album. And then speaking on dance and hip hop, it was recently Notorious B.I.G.'s anniversary yesterday when he was unfortunately shot and killed. One of the biggest influences to that bop scene, that when you talk about Hypnotize, when you talk about Big Papa, when you talk about Ten Crack Commandments, when you talk about Juicy, when you talk about most of those music that makes you vibe and make you have a cookout, you're gonna definitely talk about the Notorious B.I.G. Baby, baby.
Definitely. Rest in peace, B.I.G. Notorious B.I.G. A.K.A. Biggie Smalls. Hey, I checked out his documentary that they have for him on, I believe it's on Netflix. Really good, man. Really good. Answered some wonders that I may have had about him. One of them was, you know, I had this mind frame that he was just around his moms, and then he kind of just went to the streets. It was more like he was drawn to the streets. And Fulton Street, he didn't live too far from there, man. And it was only so much his mom can do, man. He was raised by a great mother.
That's how
it was just. He got drawn into it, man. I mean, it happens to a youngster, man. Seriously. For people that don't understand that, you need to wake up and smell the coffee, because these is kids we talking about here, man. You know, so literally, he was a kid, man, and he got drawn into that street life, man, and then he got hooked. But they were talking about how musically gifted he was. You know, they mentioned his uncle. They mentioned, you know, my damn phone ringing. Gosh darn it. They mentioned his, obviously Biggie was Jamaican descent. You know, his mom was born in Jamaica. And obviously, you know, migrated to, you know, the United States, settling in Brooklyn, or Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. So, but they used to go to take trips to Jamaica during the summer, and Biggie used to particularly he used to hang out with his uncle, and his uncle was a musician, so he used to go all kind of different clubs and joints in Jamaica, performing with his uncle. So, you know. So music was in him in that regards. And then he had a next door neighbor. Biggie had a next door neighbor, you know, and back at home, who was a jazz player. So, you know, he learned some things from him. The jazz player taught him some things. So when you hear Biggie, it makes a lot more sense of Biggie's style, you know, with that flow he had. Like it did kind of sound like he was a musical instrument with that flow he had. So. And then, you know, his death, man, it's like, his death was, just, to me, it was just uncalled for, man. You know, I don't know if there was some kind of inside thing, or if it was a conspiracy, or, you know, something ain't nobody telling you. And, you know, usually it's stuff like that, you know, there's more to the story. But, you know, from outside looking in, it's like, it was uncalled for, man. I mean, this guy go back to Cali, man. And, you know, and then you just kill the guy. Like, come on, man. Like, that's crazy to me, you know. So, you know, rest in peace, Biggie, man. Too bad, man. We wanted more. You know, it would have been nice to get more from him, you know. But you know what he left behind was, you know he left behind a legacy. So, So we got this the Cardi B situation with her hit went diamond or something like that. Did her hit? I don't know if L know anything about all that. Let me look that up, y'all. Did Cardi B's album, single, what's that single called? Her first hit? Bodak Yellow. I think it went like diamond. Did it go diamond? Yeah, man, that's what's up, man. She's making history. Hey, you know what, man, let me tell you something. I learned about Cardi B from my sister. He like Cardi B. So My sister was telling me about her because she used to watch one of those. Oh, Saweetie is. Yeah, she's from Oakland. You can tell how the way she talking act. I know a couple sisters from Oakland, and they some hood ass chicks, but they down though. But check this out. So, yeah, like I said, my sister told me, you know, about Cardi B and during her early days, and she was on when she was on Love and Hip Hop. My sister was like, "Oh, I like her," and I go like, "I thought Cardi B was a little annoying. I didn't really think much of her, but she used to stick her tongue out all the time, and she'd be like, hey, and all that. I'm like, what the hell, you know? Why she always got her damn tongue out? Every time I saw her, she had her damn tongue out. So, so I'm like, what is this? A Kiss member? A long lost Kiss member? So, you know, I used to trip off that, but I never really thought nothing more to her or whatever. It's not like I didn't like her. I just thought like maybe she was a bit annoying, but no much thought than that. But then I started listening to her little music, right? And then, you know, I did know that she had like a stripper background as well. I knew that, but I don't judge, you know, but I was aware of it, right? You know, but I didn't use that against her, and I don't judge nobody like that. But so I'm listening to her, some of her music, you know. I heard Bodak Yellow. I like Bodak Yellow. It's cool. It's a cool little cut, you know. You know, I didn't think it was gonna be like a big time hit, but you know, or what I call a household hit. But I thought it was a cool song, you know. But then I heard the album. I like, this album is tight as fuck. She got some shit, you know. So I was like, yeah, that's the one. And then Nicki Minaj started kind of like, Nicki Minaj got a little quiet, you know what I'm saying? Like, she made that little album. She had that little Chung Lee song, which is, I like that little song. And then I guess she just kind of took a back seat, you know. She living like the married life, and she married or whatever, and got a kid now and all that. So she doing her little family thing. And I'm not saying that's the reason why Cardi B emerged, but it damn sure helped, you know. But no, I like Cardi B. And then she got a lot of, I believe she got a lot of haters. A lot of people don't like her, you know, but I like Cardi B, man. I think Cardi B is going to be here for a little while, man. She's a hit maker too, man. And, yeah, she ain't going nowhere. So yeah, shout out to Cardi B, man. Yeah. And then, you know, staying with the ladies, Elle mentioned Saweetie. Yeah, Saweetie is, you know, keep doing your thing, you know. And then I be trying to tell these ladies who rap, like, y'all need club bangers. Listen, you know, and me, I DJ from time to time. I ain't gonna sit up here and say I'm the best DJ in the world, cause I ain't. You know, probably a little rusty. I haven't DJed in a little while, or did a show in a while, but as a DJ, listen, y'all, the guys is dancing with y'all. They're not dancing for y'all, they're dancing with y'all. What that mean? That means that they feed off of the ladies. And when I play club bangers as a DJ, I'm playing mostly guys. Why? Because that's who got most of the club bangers. Ladies, we need the rappers. Listen, if you're a rapper and you're like, y'all need club bangers. But it's not just, don't just make club bangers suitable for the strip club. Make club bangers suitable for nightclub. Make club bangers suitable for backyard party. Make stuff like that. Make it to where, for different scenes, make it for different purposes. Don't just make it and just be one dimensional and just make it for the strip club. Not everybody's a stripper, and not everybody goes to the strip club. So all that, the whole stripper type stuff, whatever, it's some of that stuff I'll be hearing, and I'm like, man, or you see chicks or whatever, and they kind of got like a stripper kind of style or whatever, you know. Or no, that's and then also you got to take the tempo under consideration. You know, it doesn't have to be trap. You know, trap, the tempo of trap is, the BPM is faster. It's more BPM. You understand what I'm saying? So make it a little bit more slower sometimes, because when you make it that fast, you know, you can kind of vibe. You know, there ain't too many dances that people are going to be doing, and then people are not going to be dancing with each other too much. But when you slow it down, people are going to be dancing with each other more. They can catch the beat more. You feel what I'm saying? So take that into consideration. Guys who come up with slower tempo stuff is DJ Mustard, you know, with the hyphy stuff that he be making. You know, and it's slower. You know, you can do more to it. You know what I'm saying? It's not like trap where it's kind of like you got like a little bounce going on or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And you just kind of just bouncing. You know what I'm saying? And vibing. You know, so, but with Mustard stuff, you know, you grooving and all that, and you can just be coming up with all kinds of different stuff and all that. So keep that in mind, ladies. You know, with the club bangers, and you know, I make beats too, so. You know, I know a little something about all that. So, but, you know, that's all I can come up. That's all we can come up with y'all today, y'all. Hey, y'all, check this out. Speak your mind. And this is Freedom of Mind, y'all.